Hi everyone, good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of the Recruitment Reality Podcast. I am delighted to be joined by, I was going to say like a recent partner, but actually like it's almost a year since we started working together, right? Which is amazing how time flies. But really excited to meet or have Kate on the podcast. Kate's from an organization called Willow Tree Apps. And quite different in a way that within the tech sphere, but sort of not a tech business as such in your traditional sense of just building your own product. So really excited to have a chat. Also, I know that you've had some progression in your own role over there as well. So keen to hear like how that transition's changed, what challenges you're facing, etc. But I guess the best place to start would, as always, be handing over to you to get a little introduction to yourself and obviously to the business.
Awesome. Absolutely. So my name is Kate Wright. I am the Director of Talent Acquisition and Talent Programs at Willow Tree. I'll do a little company intro first and then talk a little bit about kind of my role, and you hinted at that recent progression as well. So Willow Tree is a digital product consultancy. So very much in the tech space, have a team primarily built of software engineers, product designers, and product and program folks. But we are consulting with other clients on their path to digital leadership. So we have clients that range and in terms of kind of what we do for them and what they do, but quite a few Fortune 500 companies who look to Willow Tree to help support their digital presence. We were founded in 2007, right at the point that Apple released its SDK and really built the business on developing iOS apps. So that's kind of where we started. We then expanded to Android apps and then web. And then have kind of really built the business and expanded in a lot of ways, including strategy, research, growth marketing, really anything that hits the digital experience for our clients. We are now 1,200. We are global. So we have offices in the US, Canada, Europe, and Brazil. And we were acquired at the start of 2023 by a company called TELUS International that is headquartered up in Canada. Being at a consultancy in recruiting is very interesting in that we don't necessarily have sort of, this is our FY23 headcount, this is exactly what teams they're going to, and we kind of know exactly where we're building and growing, and we're going to invest in this product and this R&D, and so we need engineers here. It's quite different. It's very agile, which is really exciting. And there are some things that we do kind of far in advance and some programs we run. But a lot of our recruiting is sort of, we discover a need and open the role pretty much at that exact same time. You hinted a little bit about my progression. I am the director of TA and talent programs. I started my career, really built my career in the university recruiting space. And so I was there and still leading that team. I worked at another company before Willow Tree on their campus recruiting team for 5 years, been at Willow Tree for two, came to really take Willow Tree's intern and new grad programs from good to great, built a team around that. That's a pretty robust program. And that is the primary, place where we use Willow, and how I know Woody.
Lovely. Thank you for the overview. I think it's such an interesting, I liken it to where I used to work, and we would hire trainers, right? So we'd hire people to go in and train sales teams. And I can only imagine how difficult those conversations would be, because it's like, oh, so what are you training? Well, we're training this methodology, or we use this methodology, or, you know, whatever it may be. But I've no idea what you're going to build just yet. It could be anything. You're just going to sort of walk into an organization and then build something from scratch. What does that do to like the kind of attraction and like the pipeline of talent that you actually have? How does it differ to maybe, I don't know, other pipelines of talent that you've seen or talked about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge selling point in some way, right? Because there's diversity of experience. Folks will be on a client project. I mean, it ranges for sure, but folks can be on a client project for 4 months. They can be on a project for 18 months, and they could move from doing an app for a bank to working on something in the entertainment industry. And so that exposure to different industries and how, you know, a lot of different folks are thinking about the tech that they're building and their user experience is really developmental for folks. And it also just keeps things interesting, right? You know, rather than kind of, I'm working on this product that is built on top of a code base that's 15 years old, and I'm going back and trying to understand the code someone wrote 15 years ago and like need to refactor that while trying to build the new features and things that we're doing. And you know, I'm just going to kind of statically stay in this product space and really have this very niche experience with this one specific code base. What we can sell to folks both, and you know, that was really engineering focused, but also thinking about product design or our product folks, you know, the visual design and the look of things when you're interacting with a banking app versus, you know, a nonprofit app or an entertainment app, like those things look very different as well. And so getting that breadth of experience is really fun for folks. And I think that is a big part of what we sell.
I would imagine you live in the sort of intersection between those that think freelance would be great, but don't want to do it just yet. And those that have done freelance and realized that it wasn't as great as they thought, but they still want the variety. Like that, I could imagine that would be your kind of target audience, really.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I would add a third of like folks who, I mean, I guess that's sort of the first, right? Folks who have been entrenched in more of a product space who just want that variety. And I think, you know, may not necessarily want to find and develop the work themselves that freelance would take to kind of be in your own business development as well. But to have that diversity of work.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the danger of freelance, is you've also got to sell your services to somebody. So what are you finding, you know, over the last, and I can imagine it's changed in the last few months, but what are you finding have been the kind of biggest challenges for your organization, specifically in the sort of consultancy world over the last sort of 6 to 12 months?
I mean, I would say it's a couple of things. We have opened some new offices, and so we opened our Vancouver office last year. We're at about a year out, so I may be going back a little further than that. But creating brand equity in a new place is certainly an interesting challenge, right? So WillowTree is headquartered in Charlottesville, Virginia. We have a lot of brand equity here. We've been in Durham, North Carolina for some time. But then going to a market like Vancouver that's much larger has a much bigger set of technology companies and trying to kind of make a splash there and ensure that we're building an employer brand is an interesting challenge. And so for us, that really comes back to sort of how we work and trying to really sell people on who we are, which is, you know, we're super collaborative. We're going to go out and be in the community. We're going to go to events and not just try to push stuff on LinkedIn, but actually be there having conversations and showing people what it would really look like for WillowTree. I think that's an interesting challenge. And then sort of our ever-present challenge in agency is just kind of operating a recruiting team that is super agile and can go from recruiting one profile to another really rapidly, depending on what the business needs and kind of the ebbs and flows of where we're winning work and where we need to grow.
That's really interesting. And just thinking, digging a little bit deeper into that sort of recruiter profile, if you like, have you found that in building your team, you've had to hire people who have also had like broad experience, or is it more just the skill set to be agile?
Oh, that's a great question. So our team is kind of split into three groups. So we have the folks who are focused on talent programs, intern, new grad, all of that. That's a very specific skill set because they take students from internship all the way through the program. They manage the students through the program. So that's sort of one skill set. Then we have a group of folks that we call our TA business partners. And they're aligned to a specific discipline. So those are the folks who are building really deep expertise in one particular area, design, engineering, commercial. And then we have sort of our pinch hitters who go a lot of different places, who need to be super agile, who need to kind of move from one to the other. And so I think the way that we structure it very much is like, you have sort of this anchor in the person who is the engineering business partner, who knows that part of the business and has relationships internally, who knows who we compete with externally, has a really clear sense of profile for all of the roles. And they're sort of your support system as a recruiter who's more junior and is kind of jumping back from one to another. So I think when we think about, you know, how did we recruit those folks? I think we tried to build a team whose knowledge and expertise came from sort of all of the different places that we recruit, and then look to build their skills in the places where they haven't necessarily spent time. So, and, you know, I can think of one person on my team who has done a lot of work with our design team, and she has experience in creative, right? And so she has that experience in creative. She can contribute when we have design recs open, but she's also learning some of our SG&A, you know, internal focus roles as well. And she's building that skill set. And I think it's a really great opportunity for our recruiting team, and a great pitch when we're hiring recruiters that sometimes you can get sort of pigeonholed and sort of, this is the type of recruiting that I have historically done. These are the profiles I know. And then you sort of like self-fulfilling prophecy live in that space where, you know, you have that experience. And so someone recruits you for that experience and you stay in that place forever. And then, it's hard to build seniority at some point, when eventually, if you want to lead a recruiting team, if you want to be, you know, a director or a VP of recruiting one day, to say, you know, I can really manage a team that's recruiting for the full business if I've only ever been in this really niche space. So I think that's a big part of how we're trying to build the team is for their growth in mind as well, and make sure we're aligning the company's goals with their individual personal goals.
That's awesome. It is really interesting and very tricky because, I mean, looking at my own experience, like and it's funny, I was on another call earlier, we were talking about Boolean searches, and I really don't know what a Boolean search is because I've never had to use one. Mm-hmm. Like, I worked in graduate recruitment and we got 30,000 applications a month. So it was just the process of eliminating down to the top 10% of those candidates that we would then, you know, take through a process. So if I suddenly became the leader of an internal recruitment team and somebody said, oh, I need to find a, you know, a C++ whatever developer with, you know, X background in whatever, I'd be like, right, okay, how do you do that? You know, I'd have absolutely zero idea where to begin. Mm-hmm. And it's great that you kind of have that broad expertise. I guess the thing that's kind of on my mind is like, in the consultancy business, how often is it that an amazing salesperson wins an amazing opportunity and you turn around and you look at the talent that's within the organization, you go, oh no, we haven't got XYZ and we've never found that before, like a brand new skill that comes up. How often does that actually happen?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think that it's rare that we would close a deal without kind of already having those conversations internally, right? Of like, hey, we're looking like this deal is going to close and we're talking about this specific skill set. Usually we have some heads up, and typically we have some heads up that's a little further out along the lines of, we're starting to see folks are looking for this thing, or we're starting to see folks are interested in this, you know, particular skill set. And that's sort of typically where it starts. And then because the other thing we have to think about, right, is typically when we win a deal, they start pretty soon. We don't have a long lead time of like, all right, now we're going to go recruit the people. And then we need another 90 days to ramp them so that they're, you know, fully ready to contribute. That's really, that kind of timeline doesn't really exist. And so it's much more that as a, the business development team and our strategy teams are looking, you know, trying to kind of look out far in advance and say, what are the skill sets that we think we're going to need a year from now? And can we start to build that practice? Because building a practice is challenging, and it takes time. And we have some great examples, like our growth marketing practice, where we had a really strong leader hire, and she really built this team from the ground up. But certainly we didn't, you know, close a bunch of growth marketing work before we even hired her, right? Like, you know, we kind of gave that time and that practice, we gave that practice some time to grow. And then, you know, recruiting for a new practice without anyone internally in the business who can evaluate those people is also a challenge, right? So like, that's an interesting piece too, of when we do start to build a new practice, how do we kind of look internally and say, well, you haven't quite done this, but you've been sort of close to it, or you do have some experience of touching this at a past employer, even though it wasn't at Willow Tree. And oftentimes it comes down to more, how we structure our interview process when we don't necessarily know the answer, but like, you know, we need to ask the right questions, and we need to find a way to allow a candidate to demonstrate their expertise without it necessarily being like, what is 2 + 2? We know the answer is 4. We have the expertise to say the answer is 4. Instead, it's sort of more like, how might you approach?
Yeah. How would you get to this answer?
Of solving 2 + 2. Yeah.
Just work through this problem with me. And I think that it's there must be a certain level of pressure, you know, in that you can be both a great enabler of sales and also a huge blocker of it, because actually if you can't find the expertise needed to deliver on a project, that's, you know, it's very different to developing an internal product where you just go, okay, well, we're just going to have to wait. It's actually your revenue generation is cut off because you can't charge out that person at a billable rate, right?
So there's this whole sort of function that I wasn't super familiar with before I came to Willow Tree, because my experience is in product, which is our resource management or our staffing team that kind of is the link between TA and the business and business development around, you know, they are sort of our primary partner on what's coming down the pipe, what should we start to be recruiting for, where are we good internally in terms of like, all right, we're, you know, hypothetically, like we build a lot of mobile apps and right now we're good on iOS engineers, but we really need to amp up our Android engineering team. So that's, you know, a critical partner in any consultancy is sort of that the staffing or resource management team that partners with us and has a clearer look on, you know, where things are going in the business, what deals are coming in, what's our likelihood of winning those deals, and can project out like, okay, if we won this is, you know, these are the needs, and can we or can we not staff that internally right now?
Yeah, that must be a really interesting role, the kind of role that I would not have the patience for. I'm 100% certain of that, but in terms of data, et cetera, and how does that inform your, from an employer branding standpoint, you know, I love the fact that you've already said you kind of go out there and whatever, but now actually speak to people and live the brand in front of them, which, you know, an employer brand is basically the window to your actual business culture. And if there's a disparity between the two, people turn up and go, yep, this is not what your employer brand said, so I'm out. And it was kind of pointless in the first place. How does that dynamic in the, you know, the insightful individuals coming to you, how does that affect like how you pivot and change your employer brand and how you get it out there?
That's a great question. I mean, I think, I think there's just sort of the interesting piece of being a consultancy, or just like anyone thinking about their employer brand, it is very different depending on what you do as a business, right? So the employer brand of a company who's very B2B, you know, your grandma has never heard of them kind of thing, and how they build versus like the employer brand of Coca-Cola versus the employer brand of someone like Willow Tree, who, again, you know, we're B2B, it's consultancy. And so it's about kind of thinking about how we operate in the space that is, you know, our employer brand is marketing. And on some level, we need to be both marketing the consultancy and what we can do for folks, our services, as well as us as a business. And so a lot of times those things overlap in really interesting ways of, you know, we're thinking about going to, we'll go to a conference, right? And our primary aim is to win business at that conference. But secondary aim is there's a lot of people who do similar things to what we do and, you know, could be really interesting and might have the skill sets we're looking for. And so managing both of those at the same time, I think is a really interesting problem. And our employer brand team sits within marketing. And I think that's super helpful in that, you know, we as the recruiting team partner with them, but they have more exposure to all of the things that we're doing as a business by sitting within that team. I mean, I think ultimately, though, the way that our brand sort of like speaks, I think, is just really authentic and really like intimate is sort of the word I think of. Like, you know, our WillowTree LinkedIn page responds to pretty much every employee post that happens. So like if I post something on my LinkedIn, the WillowTree page is almost certainly going to respond. So I posted for my anniversary and WillowTree responds with like a very specific detail about what I do here. Not just like, you're great, Kate, thanks for being here, but sort of thank you so much for the work you did on this, right? And so I think that that is what really displays our brand best because we have quite a diversity of folks we're hiring, right? We need to appeal to a software engineer and we need to appeal to someone who, you know, does business development or is in HR or whatever. And so we can't be super like, all right, our employer brand is writing everything in JSON and like doing it that way of like being super tech. It has to be applicable to a lot of different groups. And I think the way that's done at WillowTree is just being really true to who we are and who we are as a culture, which is very much like we've grown considerably. We're 1,200 employees, but there is still that sense of small company. We know each other. We know who does what. And our brand sort of speaks with that voice as if they were a WillowTree employee and not the brand.
Yeah, I think what's interesting to me is like whenever you say 1,200 people, I'm like, really? Like, I know you're a great business, but it's like you're being big but acting small almost in the internal sense, not in the external, like, you know, not thinking big enough. I mean, like acting small as in it feels, like you say, intimate, and everybody I've ever dealt with, you know, gets on with each other, knows each other, talks openly about their lives, and there's no, it's not like the sort of corporate feel, which makes it like hyper-personalized and adaptable for sure, which, you know, and it's funny because obviously as an outsider looking in, that's the feel that I get anyway. An employer brand is just, like I say, how people act, but being able to see it through the shop window. I love that employer branding sits in marketing as well. It just, you know, too many people think that it should be up to the recruiters when in reality, like, it is still marketing. It's still branding.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, we need to have a really strong partnership and we need to say, like, this is our focus for the next 3 months. And so we need to target our content in that way, or we need your help with X, Y, and Z. But ultimately, you know, having someone who understands recruiting to some extent, but who's major expertise is on the brand side is much more helpful than someone who is a recruiter who's dabbling in brand.
Yeah, who knows how to use Canva?
Yes.
Which would be me. That's amazing. Okay, cool. So look, moving into the sort of second section, I guess, in terms of assessing talent then, you've got all of these different, you've got early careers, you've got, you know, you've got the professional services, consultancy, tech, internal, you know, 1,200 people, a certain level of attrition, all of that stuff. How, as a diverse team, do you try and deliver a consistent sort of assessment process to all of those different things?
We are just so focused on structured hiring and really ensuring that we are taking that lens as we assess and evaluate talent. So Everything comes back to the how we manage performance for that role, and sort of those things inform how we recruit, right? So we're stepping back to say, what does success look like in this role? What are outcomes for someone, you know, 90 days down the road for this particular role? And then let's build our scorecards and our question set to come back to that. And then additionally, I think the piece that kind of binds us all together, right, is values. And so how do our values show up for this role? What does it look like to have sustainable flow as a TA professional versus having sustainable flow as an engineer? And so thinking through that lens, and then sort of the final layer is something I hadn't really experienced before in my career, and I came to really appreciate at WillowTree, is that we additionally have these leadership competencies. And so taking kind of the values a step further, like, what are we looking for in a leader? And what does it mean to be an effective leader at WillowTree and in our business? And so we also evaluate on those leadership competencies for the appropriate roles when we're looking for leaders as well. And I think that ensures that we have a consistency and a values add across the board while having, you know, very different interview processes and questions that we're asking those folks.
Yeah, amazing. So it's basically taking the scorecard and the structures, taking values as a this is us, you know, across every single role, and then having the individual strands depending on the kind of role that they're actually going for, right?
Yes, yeah. And you know, we talked about the structure of the recruiting team. I think that's part of it, right? We have people hopping from role to role. We don't have these like massive silos of you recruit for this part of the business, you recruit for that part of the business, and you're going to do things totally differently across those two. Like, we have to have things pretty consistent to allow our recruiters to jump from a product designer to an IT support specialist and be able to, you know, do that seamlessly.
Yeah, amazing. And the reason I ask is because you talked about scorecards. So I know obviously scorecards is a big thing in Greenhouse. Shout out to Greenhouse.
Yes.
What role does technology play in all of this, like driving consistency? Because I think it's really easy to say we want to hire consistently using our values, structures, etc. It's actually really difficult to do, especially in a large organization, to communicate what those values are, to make sure people are asking the right questions. So what kind of technology do you use to underpin all of that, you know, best intentions?
Yeah, so I mean, I think you mentioned it, but obviously Greenhouse is sort of first and foremost. Greenhouse is a major player in structured hiring and kind of developing what that looks like and how to best set up technology to do that. So Greenhouse first and foremost, and the ability to set up skills and attributes and questions and scorecards that folks can access and they have a consistency of experience in doing so. I think when it comes to sort of tech and our stack, any of our technology is very much, we had a clear problem to solve. We had a goal in mind, and then, you know, we went out to market and figured out what technology was going to be best fit for that. So certainly in our experience working together, as you knew, we were already using an asynchronous video interview platform because the volume of applications that we receive for an intern or new grad program is absurd. And we just want to be able to get to know students a little bit better and be able to engage just a little bit deeper with more students than sort of what it would have been otherwise, which is we review resumes and then we're committing 30 minutes of recruiter time to sit down and evaluate and have a conversation and submit a scorecard. And Willow allows us to hear from a student, hear their story in a way that is not sort of like, you know, people can be creative with resumes to an extent, but there's more or less a format and a template that's acceptable. Whereas, you know, when you ask someone a question and then you ask them to record their response to it, we get so much more insight about a candidate and their fit than we would get from just pure resume. So that's, you know, that's one example. Another is around speed and how quickly we can schedule and ensuring that we can schedule really quickly and be super focused on candidate experience. That's something we get a lot of feedback about and we're so proud about is the quality of our candidate experience. So Good Time is a tool that helps us with that. It's our scheduling tool. integrates with Greenhouse. And, you know, we're able to move candidates through the process more quickly. We're able to give them a branded experience as they walk through and engage with our scheduling platform. And so that the speed of that and telegraphing to candidates that this isn't all on our time. It's not just about us and when things make sense for us. Like, we're going to put our cards on the table and be like, here are some times that do make sense for us. Like, think about your life and think about when are you going to be in the best space to interview instead of kind of just tell me every single time you're available and then we'll cherry pick the best one for us. We want to have a little bit more partnership with our candidates as we schedule to ensure that they can perform as best as possible in the process and they're enjoying the process all the way through. So I think, you know, those are sort of the primary pieces of the stack. There are others, you know, Textio and some of our sourcing tools that help to ensure that we have an equitable process and we can be really inclusive in our processes as well, which is obviously another big focus. But I think it all comes down to, like, you know, the technology is there. Recruiting is an incredibly personal experience. And we don't want to put a bunch of technology in between us and a candidate so much so that they feel like they're not getting to know us. So it really is, how do we put the technology there in a way that's engaging to a candidate that feels aligned with our brand and that is making the process better both for us and for them, which I think is kind of true of all of the tools that we have and is sort of how we evaluate them.
And I think so much of the technology conversation is around candidate experience, and so much of the poor experience is actually not the technology that you use. It's the way that you're using it and how you're explaining to the candidate why you're doing something. So let's take Willow as an example. So often you'll hear, oh, you know, it feels like impersonal, like you're sending this out. Well, it's a lot less impersonal than spending 7.5 seconds reviewing a resume and deciding whether that person should go ahead or not. And actually, if you communicate that to your candidates and you tell them, look, the reason why we're doing this is not because we can't be bothered to call you all. It's because if we don't do it, we've got to get rid of 75% of you based on paper that all looks pretty much the same, right? So, and that part you talked about, good times. And by the way, why does nobody ever talk about that technology? Like, loads of people use it, but I never hear their brand.
Really?
Like, two or three times I've heard their brand from big companies doing great stuff in candidate experience.
Make one for the podcast.
Yeah, maybe I should. I don't know who the guy is or girl, but I will get them and get them on, because that point again about, you know, we talk about asynchronous for exactly the same reason. Like, interview when you're going to be good, not when works for me. And all of that stuff, it's how you implement it, because I'm sure with good times you can go, right, these are the times I'm available, take it or leave it as well. And it's about how you kind of set things up, really.
Yeah, I think it's also, I think, like, you were talking about sort of like the potential criticism of Willow or asynchronous interviewing generally. It's also very much like, in theory, sure, but in practice, the feedback that we get from candidates is that it was a much lower pressure introduction to interviewing. And, you know, they got to kind of show a little bit of themselves and kind of start out in their comfort zone, in their home, with the ability to retake, with, you know, the option to re-record a question answer. And you know, I think it's also, you know, sharing the video intros and outros and how do you write your questions in Willow to be sort of like, not just super robotic of here's the question, but here's a little bit about Willow Tree. Tell us about how you think about this thing as well. But the feedback we get from candidates is that they love it and that they think it's a helpful introduction to the process, particularly, you know, in a high volume process. So I think it's also important for us to think about, is this just my first gut reaction or like my theoretical reaction to this thing rather than an actual lived experience?
So it's so true. Like, is this the way I would react? Or is this the way the world would react? Is two different things. My perception of somebody else's perception of reality, basically. So I totally agree with that. And I think as long as when you implement something, you are measuring, okay, and you're asking the question, which I know you all do, and also you're thinking. So you talked about retakes. Like, that's one of the things that we get so many questions about. It's like, how many retakes? Just give them unlimited retakes.
Yeah.
Make it about the candidate, because it'll make no difference to you and whether the person's good. It'll make a huge difference to them and their experience and their ability to perform to the best of their ability. So,
yeah, I think there's a shift that I appreciate in recruiting, that like, we're not, there are no trick questions, right? We're not trying to like stop you up. And I think like, if you read a, you know, how to recruit book from the 90s, it would be very like, tell the candidate that you're meeting them for lunch here and then see how they interact with the host when they show up and like then change the time and kind of like put all these obstacles up for a candidate to like make sure that they go through each obstacle perfectly. And it's like, that's not real life. And also recruiting is very stressful and it's so much higher stress than kind of like, how would they actually could collaborate with you on the job versus how are they collaborating with you when there are four people staring at them on a Zoom screen and they feel like they're being evaluated, but it's not two ways, right? You know, and so I think we need to be mindful of that.
Absolutely. When was the last time you performed your job with four people watching you on the screen? Like, never. And the funny thing about that is, like, everybody talks about panel interviews being a great way to remove bias from the situation. If you've got a diverse panel. Yeah, that might be the case. But if you put one person in front of three people, it doesn't matter how diverse the panel is, you're still going to, you know, end up with some interview anxiety, right? Especially if you are from an underprivileged background where you haven't been put in that situation before, right? So it's all these things that I think are definitely improving for the better. Well, look, it's been amazing to chat, Kate. Thank you so much for your insights. One final question is, I guess if you had one bit of advice, either for somebody in, you know, your position somewhere else, or perhaps transitioning from, you know, manager to director, etc., or even like a candidate in the current market, is there any sort of one bit of advice that you'd maybe give to those individuals or an individual?
So I think my advice hopefully would resonate with all of those folks. But I think something that, you know, we talked a little bit about the transition and I think this is true whether you're looking for a job, whether you're looking to grow in a role, and just in recruiting generally, is to just be super curious and ask lots of questions and assume that people want to share and give you the answers. I think I certainly started my career in a place where I did not understand the technology I was recruiting people to build. And in time, over the course of a couple of months, you know, I asked engineers and people were happy to share with me and I had a better understanding. And then that made me a better recruiter because I was able to cut through the BS better, but I was also able to help a candidate understand, you know, the impact of what they could do and what we were building there. And I think that's, you know, kind of carried through in my time at Willow Tree as well, of, you know, that curiosity and trying to understand the business better and trying to understand the roles that you're not recruiting for better and all of that. And then as a candidate, you know, just being really curious through the process, getting really curious about companies, not, you know, operating on assumption, and kind of walking in with really open mind and kind of trying to gather that data and make your own impressions instead of relying on sort of impressions others have made and shared with you.
Yeah, I love that. There's a company we work with down the corridor that might hear me shout this in a second, but their number one value is grow with curiosity. Mm-hmm. And I just love anybody that gives that advice, you know, has got to where they've got to by asking questions and just finding the solutions, looking for the answers in a positive way. Like, it's, that's a super important thing. You're looking for, you're being curious, not looking for blame, those kind of things. It's a big difference. So yeah, amazing advice. Thank you so much. And if somebody is interested about working at Willow Tree or working with Willow Tree, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
WillowTreeApps.com. We share quite a bit, both on what we do and about our opportunities there. So please check us out and reach out if you're interested.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe, whether it's YouTube or Spotify or whatever. Appreciate you spending the time with us this morning. Kate, thank you very much.
Thank you, Woody.